Thank you for listening to this message from Southwest Baptist Church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We are a church family desiring to point people to the glory of God. We are committed to equipping and encouraging one another in the faith and evangelizing our community together. If you want to learn more about Southwest Baptist Church, visit southwestbaptisthavasu.org. Now for this week's message from Pastor Rob Westlake.
You'll go with me and turn with me in your Bibles to Ezra chapter 4 this morning. We are carrying on in this series, Rise Up and Build. And I do believe it is a God-glorifying calling for us to build for the glory of God. And I really wanted to stick with challenges, but I thought I would give us a different title this morning. And so we're going to look at this idea of actions and reactions as we read through the book of Ezra chapter 4 this morning. And just as, you know, if you're going to be a good Baptist, you got to start with the Word of God, right? So we're just going to read verse 1. And then what we'll actually do is we'll work through the whole chapter as we go point by point. But what I want you to do is see a transition as we move from last week, finishing with just that struggle and that joy that we saw with the children of Israel, now to that continual building and the challenges that came with that. So if you're in your place, Ezra chapter 4 and verse 1, we read these words. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. All right, so here's the stage that we're moving into. The children of Israel were now really fully engaged in what God had called them to. They were building the temple. And you notice that phrase. How many of you are super excited when you find out there's an adversary, right? Not many of us love the word adversary. Not many of us love the idea of somebody coming against us. But we recognize that in any point in our life, we are always facing an adversary. We're spending our time in our Sunday morning Bible study looking at Ephesians chapter 6 and that idea of putting on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we know that there is an enemy. We know that there is an adversary that is coming against us every single day of our lives. And it's no different at this point in the story of the children of Israel as you think about this idea that there was an adversary, or we know adversaries, that were coming against the children of Israel. What you realize as you think about maybe that quote, for every action, there is an equal or opposite reaction, right? So for that action of God's people moving forward to build, there is an equal or opposite reaction of his enemy trying to stop the building for the glory of God. And so what you see here, or what we're going to see here in Ezra chapter 4, is this action. The children of Israel start to build up the temple, and you see this reaction, the enemy of God trying to stop that building from going forward. Why is this such a big deal for Satan and his emissaries? It's a big deal because when the temple is built, the children of Israel will have free reign and opportunity to worship freely the God of Israel. We would say the God of the Bible, the God of creation. And it's very important for that enemy to stand against that so that he can continue to hinder the worship of God. And so you see that action and you see that reaction. Now, you and I today, again, we're not building temples. We might build buildings for churches to worship together in, but you and I are building people up for the glory of God. We are building by bringing the gospel message into our city. We're building by equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We're building by encouraging the saints as they minister. And so you and I are building, and you and I have an enemy. Flip with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 14, and I want you to see just this challenge that you and I have as we think about this God calling to build for the glory of God. We were talking in our morning Bible study about the good times of seeing success through faith as we looked at the first portion of Hebrews chapter 11. And then we saw the difficult moments that people would go through as we read the later portion of Hebrews chapter 11. And some of us are going to walk by faith in a little bit more of relative ease. And some of us are going to walk through difficult times. The children of Israel had times of relative ease, and they had times of great adversaries. But I want you to notice what Jesus was explaining to us as we think about our calling to build for the glory of God. You notice there in verse 25, he says this, "And there went a great multitude," and "there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters," what's it say? "And his life also." Would you say those five words with me? "And his life also." What's he say? "He cannot be my disciple." How many agree? Those are some very strong words that Jesus is presenting to us. There is going to be some adversaries that are going to come against us and going to try and stop us from building for the glory of God. And they might work at our church. They might work at our family. But ultimately, we realize that it could come down that they're going to work into our own life as well. And Jesus tells us that our love for God is so more important, so much more important than our love for our own life. Now, how many of you know it's easy to love yourself, right? It's easy. We went to work yesterday, just busy doing things. I was helping Katie with a project, and I came down at the end of the day, and I wanted to pat myself on the back, and so I told Katie, let's go to Culver's. And so we went to Culver's, got a hamburger and some amazing cheese curds. You know, you love yourself, right? You gotta splurge a little on those cheese curds. And of course, Culver's, you know, just continues to suck you in with loving yourself. And they say, you want to do a survey and get a free ice cream? How many is not going to take 5 minutes to get a free ice cream, right? But again, so I'm thinking, okay, I've got to make a purchase. So if I make a purchase, I'm like, Katie, you want the ice cream? She's like, sure. All right. See, I'm a nice person. But what did I do? I bought four ice creams for me, right? Actually, I bought three because I gave Katie one. And then she got one, right? I mean, it's easy to love ourselves, isn't it? But we need to understand our love for God has to look far greater than our love for ourselves. Let's carry on. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, what's it say? Sitteth not down first and counteth the cost." Do you understand there is a cost to be a disciple for Jesus Christ? "Whether he hath sufficient to finish it. Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth embassage and desireth conditions of peace." Look at this, verse 33. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Amen. You just see some very strong words here. And I want to set us up for what we're going to go through in Ezra chapter 4, because there are going to be some challenges, some actions that are going to press against the children of Israel. And ultimately, they have to make the decision. Am I going to fall to the commands of man, or am I going to obey the commands of God? And so you and I need to be reminded of where our calling comes from. And we're going to see that in just a moment. But here's what I want us to see. You and I are living on this side of the cross. You and I are living with the completed Word of God. You and I are living with the opportunity to look backwards so that we can live successfully in the present. So notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. Now, he's talking about other things, but I want you to connect it with where we're going in Ezra chapter 4. Now, these things were our examples, all right? They were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. You see Paul continuing on with some other instructions here. He says in verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted or were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them almost murmured and were destroyed. And were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened to them for ensamples or examples, and they were written for our admonition. They were written for our counsel, for our warning, for our learning. He says, upon whom the ends of the earth or the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So two things. You and I, as we come to Ezra chapter 4, have an opportunity to look backwards, to see how the enemy pressed against the children of Israel and caused all of these challenges, all of these reactions to what was taking place. And you and I can say, wow, they sure lacked faith. Wow, they sure gave up pretty easy. Wow, they sure didn't follow through with what they went, were called to do. Notice what he says in verse 12 there again. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. You and I not only need to learn, we need to take heed that we don't think better of ourselves than we ought to. You know, it's very much a possibility in 2022 for you and I to stop building just as much as it was for the children of Israel. So let's look at this. As we think about Ezra chapter 4, you notice the challenge initiated. The challenge initiated. Go with me back to Ezra chapter 4 and verse 1. All right? Ezra chapter 4 and verse 1, we read these words. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came unto Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esradon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Now, let's go to verse 10 and let's just connect why Zerubbabel would have said this. And the rest of the nations, whom the great and noble Asnapar brought over, and set in the cities of, what's it say?
Samaria.
So that gives us an idea who are speaking to the children of Israel here. And it says, and the rest that are on this side the river and at such a time. And so what you recognize is that these individuals who were what we now become known as the Samaritans, these Samaritans were the Jews intermarried with these groups of people, which God had instructed them not to. And these children of Israel, these Jews, then allowed those other gods to have an influence on their lives, and so that they did not worship the one true God as the Jews worship. We see this a lot clearer explained in the book of John as Jesus goes and meets the woman at the well in Samaria. He goes out of the way. He meets this woman. If you want to hear about this story, just come on Wednesday night and we'll carry it on. Okay, but you recognize that there was some integration that took place, and that was the struggle that Zerubbabel was having with the children of Israel as this challenge with the challenge from the people of Samaria, and they stood against it and said that they could not build. So you and I have to remember, where is our calling from, right? Who called the children of Israel to do what they were called to do. We saw it in Ezra chapter 1, verses 3 and verses 5. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. So again, we're talking about the God of creation, the God who established the children of Israel, had called the children of Israel to go back to Jerusalem. They accepted that call for the purpose of building the temple. That was their calling. That's what God had called them to, and they accepted God to God's leading on their lives. You see that in verse 5. It says, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised up, to go to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. I want to point this out to us, because you and I need to remember where our calling came from. Where did our calling come from for salvation? Our calling, hopefully, came from the Word of God. God gave us His Word so that we could be sure of our salvation. How many of you are thankful we don't have a hope-so salvation? Amen. John tells us, these things I wrote unto you that you may know, right? So you and I can know that we are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You and I have the ability to stand on the solid, firm foundation of salvation based on the Word of God. We then know that you and I have a solid, firm foundation to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You and I also know from the Word of God other things that call us to some form of separation from the world. And so what you and I recognize is our calling comes from the Word of God. Now, what are you and I faced with today many a times? You and I are faced with callings from other people. Hey, why don't we get together and do this thing? Now, I want you to understand there's some times where we can gather together with people who may believe completely differently than us. It's interesting to me listening to a couple conservative commentators this week talking about feminist individuals standing up now to these extreme ideologies of the LGBTQ agenda, and they are using this phrase, we are strange bedfellows. Why? Because they're standing together against an agenda that is wicked and evil. It doesn't make sense in most worldly terminology for a conservative to stand with what we would normally say a feminist would be a liberal, right? But there is a common purpose. We might say it this way. We know initially, not maybe so much anymore, but Catholics were very much against abortion, right? Would we be able to stand against our government mandates of abortion with a Catholic? I think it's a good idea. Now, are you and I going to bring a Catholic in here to preach a Catholic doctrine? No, that's a completely different standard and idea. And so before we come to this idea that separation means isolation, we just need to know separation means we are standing separated on the Word of God. What is God calling you and I to stand for His honor, for His glory? And that's where the children of Israel were standing. God has called us and moved us to build this temple for the glory of God. And what you find is that Zerubbabel knew there was a difference in their theology. Right? There's a difference in their theology. Think about what Paul said to Timothy. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, and know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. How many of you know there's definitely some perilous times, Cam, that have come? Then verse 5, he talks about this idea that these individuals having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What's he say? From such turn away. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep in, right? Oh, why do they sneak in? Because if they clearly told you what they believed and thought, you'd be like, hold on, the Word of God is completely against that. The Word of God completely contradicts that. The Word of God says this against that, right? So they creep in and try and sneak in. It was so interesting to me. You know, we struggled through planting a church in Jamaica. I hate to say it this way, our color created a very big barrier in Jamaica to building the church. And so we got certain people came in, and God allowed us to get it going, but really didn't have a lot of interaction with other denominations. And so we God called us and moved us, and we went to British Columbia, and things were going really well. And excited about what God was doing. And I noticed a couple people come into the back door. They walked in right when the church started, the service started. They sat in the back, and I noticed after the service, they just started talking to a couple young people in the back corner. And I noticed that those young people then didn't come back to church for the next couple weeks. And I said, I went and I saw them, and I said, hey, what's been happening in your life? What's going on? And they're like, well, we were introduced to the Jehovah's Witness, and we decided we'd give them a chance to check them out. And I said, where did you meet them? That's like, they actually came, and they were a part of our church service. And I thought, wow. They crept in. You know who they didn't talk to? They certainly didn't talk to me. Right? You see these people creeping in. They come in. Now, the individuals who were standing against the children of Israel, they had the audacity. They went right to the head honchos, if we would call them that. But notice this, as you see in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 3, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do they resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You know what's exciting? Is ultimately their folly is going to be seen. You get people who contradict the Word of God talking, and you're going to see or hear where they contradict the Word of God, where they stand against the Word of God. And you can know, should I stand with them or should I turn from them? And so that's why it's so important for you and I to understand the Word of God, because there are going to be challenges that are going to be initiated against our lives as we attempt to build for the glory of God. Well, they didn't succeed in the initiation, so you see the challenge amplified. The challenge amplified. Look back in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 4. It says this, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purposes all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, I think we can be certain, but maybe not sure, but maybe they had their own form of the ACLU in the days of the children of Israel, right? People who could be approached to find counsel. How do we stop them from doing what we don't want them to do? Now, you and I are not told exactly what they did to weaken the hands of the people of Judah, what they did to trouble them, but how many of you know we can dream a little? You and I know what takes place in society when people don't want things to happen. Now, I was laughing with a guy we were helping yesterday, and he was a contractor, and he said he's tried to get away because, you know, it takes a couple months for building permits to get approved, right? And so he's babysitting this project for a couple months while he's trying to get the job even started. How many of you know that you can get a little frustrated while you're waiting for permits to happen, right? I'm not saying there were permits in that day, right? Troubled them. What if they wouldn't trade with them and food supplies got cut off and building supplies got held off on the coast of California, right? I mean, you can dream a little about how their hands were weakened, how their struggles could take place. And you see they amplified. It wasn't just a let's go together. This was, hey, we're going to, you know, we're really going to try and hinder this right away now. And you notice that it was amplified a little more. And they hired counselors against them to what? Frustrate their purpose. Mm-hmm. what they wanted to do is they wanted to stop the children of Israel from building what was going on. And so you see this challenge amplified. I want you to understand, as you begin to recognize that a challenge is initiated, pay attention, because there's a good chance if you stand against that challenge that it's going to be amplified. I want to encourage you just with that to be prepared, to begin to ask the Lord to give you wisdom and understanding for what might be around the corner, because the reality is you and I have no idea what tomorrow holds. You and I can have a sense of where Satan might go, but you and I really don't know the mind of Satan as Satan is. We've gotten glimpse from the Word of God and maybe glimpse in our own lives, but just be prepared that the challenge may be amplified. Let's notice this second or this third thought. The challenge's escalation. You know, their hands are weakened. They're frustrated. As we jumped into the pandemic in 2020, and we moved through it with relative ease, I would say, in the landscaping world. And I can only speak to that. I wasn't in ministry at that time. I had the opportunity to be a deacon at a church at that point and saw the struggles and frustrations there. But we moved to it really 3/4 of the year. And then all of a sudden, things began to become problematic, right? You couldn't get blocks to build walls. You couldn't get pavers to finish a paving job. Things were being held up because workers weren't doing the work to be able to meet the supply demands for all the free money that was given away and people wanting to spend it in their backyards, right? And you saw the trouble that was happening in those moments, that amplification. But then you see the escalation. Look at verse 6. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, write Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabiel, and the rest of his companies unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. All right, so now it's escalated. This isn't just a city problem. This isn't just a state problem. This is a national problem, right? We're going to go and we're going to write a letter to the top brass and make sure that they know what is happening so that we can finally stop what's going on. How many of you think you can't really go much higher than that, right? They went to the top because they wanted this thing stopped. And so what you find many a times is they might go to the top. It's interesting when you think about how the pandemic escalated so quickly, right? You came to the point where it escalated so quickly that we then became, had the title, essential or non-essential, right? And I laughed about this from the very beginning. I thought, how is landscaping essential? You know, we were an essential business. We were granted the liberty to travel and continue to go on because we were essential. And you saw it escalate very quickly as governors and presidents began to determine who was essential and who wasn't essential. And you know, those early decisions, I think, were good on the basis of pastors' decisions. And then you began to see things really take a turn when pastors began to stand for truth. And again, I don't know him from Adam. I've seen him a couple of times in sermon clips, but I saw John MacArthur put out a statement because of the government of California and their mandates. And he said, how is it that a church is not essential, but a strip club and alcoholic joints are essential, right? They escalated to the point where they had governing officials saying, you cannot meet together because you are non-essential. And it's kind of the same thing here as they went to the king here and they were trying to get them to say, what you're doing is going to work against what we want to do, right? They wanted to frustrate the purpose. Do you understand that there is a world outside of these four walls that wants to frustrate the purpose of the church? Amen. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. And if you and I as the church are going out to shine as lights in a very dark world, you and I are going to find our work frustrated. It was interesting to me. And again, I'm just looking at all of this from a distance. And so I take 99% of it as a grain of salt, however that saying goes. But, you know, Canada has been so far pressed harder against in this pandemic than America. And you finally saw pastors stand up in Alberta, thrown in prison, jailed for meeting together. And my mom called me. She said, hey, have you heard what's going on? I think this week or two ago, she said, there's a truck convoy that is going from Vancouver to Ottawa, Ontario, to try and make a statement to the Prime Minister that they're sick and tired of these mandates that are hindering the economy of Canada. Well, they made the convoy, went into Alberta, and that's where a lot of these problems were happening because pastors were still meeting. And there was a pastor there. He held a rally with these truckers, provided all this food and supplies to help them carry on. And saw a picture just the other day, a random police stop. They ran his plates and he was thrown in prison again. Random police stop, right? Yeah. You see the frustration of the world against the work or the attempt to frustrate the work of God from the world. And so you see this escalation that takes place as they write the letter to the king. Let's look quickly. The challenge assessed. All right, so you have this challenge against the children of Israel. Oh, we want you to let us build with you. No, we're not going to do that. We'll build. God's called us. He supplied for us. All right, if you're not going to let us build with you, we're going to build against you. And if we can't stop you ourselves, we're going to bring in the highest people that we can to stop this. And so you notice what takes place. And I want you to look at it from this angle as we start in verse 8. The challenge assessed is this. There's a letter written to the king, and the king is going to assess what he is going to do in this situation. So let's look what they say. Verse 8. Rahab, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sort. All right, look at verse 11. I'm going to save you from some of those names, all right? Verse 11. This is the copy of the letter that was sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes, the king. Thy servants, the men on the other side the river, and at such a time, be it known unto the king and to the Jew, that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the, what's it say? Rebellious and the bad city. All right, so they're beginning to set a tone for this letter so that the king can understand what their beliefs are. All right, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations there. Be it known unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. Now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king. Isn't it interesting when people start writing to high ranking officials how much flattery they want to set in their letters? Hey, I love you. I think you're a great president. I think you're a great prime minister. You're such a handsome looking individual. I mean, man, you can eat ice cream like no. That's terrible. I'm sorry. All right. Verse 15. that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers, so shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. We certify the king that if this city be builded again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Then sent the king an answer unto Rahab the chancellor, and Shimshai the scribe, and the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time. The letter which ye sent unto us hath been plainly read before me, and I commanded, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll and tribute made therein. And custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that they fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? So there you have this letter written by these Samaritans, these groups of individuals pressing back against the children of Israel. And the king begins to assess the situation. And he writes back this letter, stop them from building. Make sure they don't meet together and continue to progress what's going on. He says there, look at this wording again, verse 22. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. All right? Notice where his intent is. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Right? Why should we be cause problems for our own lives? Here's what I want you to understand as we look at this, because you have the children of Israel. They have a calling from God. You remember in Ezra chapter 1, we read in Ezra chapter 4 that this took so long that Cyrus the king of Persia was no longer king, right? What do we remember from Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1? God stirred the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he allowed the children of Israel to do this. All right, so they're building, but another king comes along. You know, we are not told anything about the heart of, say, King Artaxerxes being stirred to allow the children of Israel at this time, right, to do this thing. So I want us to understand, when we see such a difficulty come up, right, with this challenge to assess, think about what we read as you notice those words, and he changes the times. He, God, changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Right? Did God set up Cyrus, king of Persia? Absolutely he did, for a time, to move the children of Israel back to the land of Jerusalem and the surrounding cities. He removeth kings. He allowed Cyrus to be taken out of leadership at that time, and he allowed other kings to rise up in their place. And do you understand that God always has a purpose for what he does? And you and I may not clearly understand the purpose. How many of you have struggled to understand God's purpose with a president? Maybe several presidents, you know? I want you to understand, the church never had to stop. The church may have had to relocate, but the church never had to stop. You and I don't ever have to stop because of a president or a prime minister. You and I just maybe have to adjust. You and I never have to stop building. We might just have to ask God, how do we build differently, right? You think about what God has done through this pandemic when the church was considered non-essential. Unfortunately, on one side of the coin, thousands of churches closed their doors. The reality is probably the majority of those churches were well on their way to closing their doors. And the pandemic just expedited that process. I said this several times to our church in British Columbia. We need to be careful that we don't just rest on finances. Finances can run a church for a very long time without the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. You understand that finances don't govern the success of a church. It just governs the ability of how long it can stay with its doors open. And so you recognize the change that took place. But you think about this. There were many churches, and I don't necessarily know all the background from 2020 to 2022, but I would say Southwest Baptist Church has done fairly well through a pandemic, financially and numerically. And again, I understand Arizona didn't get hit hard with such governing regulations as maybe some other states, but you think about the opportunity you have to readdress. You think about how many people, and I laughed about this maybe several months ago, how many people had preached and preached and preached against TV preachers. And overnight, because of a pandemic, they became a TV preacher, right? They changed and went to live streaming because that was the only way they could minister to their people from their own homes, or sneaking out to their church and live streaming from their church. And you just talk about the changes and shifts when the assessment, God sets up kings and he sets them up for a purpose. He takes down kings and he takes them down for a purpose. I want you to understand, you and I don't need to fear Joe Biden. You and I just need to fear God, who can lead us through a Joe Biden. And I don't want to talk negatively about him, but there can be some things that are going to come and press against the church, that are going to try and weaken our hands, that are going to try to cause us to stop building. But you and I have the Word of God to go forward with, and you and I need to understand what our call is. Amen. Remember what we started with. Who do we love more, God or our own life? I never personally thought I would see a day when I was alive, when pastors in Canada would be thrown in prison. I just didn't. I mean, I should have known those days were coming, but I never thought I would see it. Who's more important, my life or God? And so we need to see the assessment, but notice the challenge of success, verse 23 and 24. Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rahab and Shimshai the scribes and their companions, they went up in what? Haste. They were excited. They were happy with what the king had said to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and made them to cease by what? Force and power. It shocked me to see a Baptist pastor in Alberta taken to prison in front of his family, at their church, all right? And so he was released, I believe it was something like a couple weeks later, and they went back now to having church in their home. And that pastor was taken out of his home by force and power in front of his children and his wife for continuing to have church, right? They were in their home where the government would allow them to stay, right? I can eat supper in my home, but I can't have church in my home. He made the choice to continue to worship God. And he was taken out by force and by power. Notice verse 24. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Here's what I want us to see. You and I are in desperate need in 22 for the wisdom of God in how we are going to continue to build. Things are certainly different today than they were 50 years ago. You agree with that? Mm-hmm. But would you agree that things are very different than 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. Things have so escalated in the United States of America against God, it is, you know, like warp speed. What we have seen in the changes. But here's what I want you to see. Flip with me to Daniel chapter 2, verse 14. I really was caught by you know, this challenge and how it succeeded. And again, I don't want to read into Ezra chapter 4. I don't know the hearts and minds of what took place at that time. But I do know that you and I are going to face similar circumstances. So what do we need to do? Daniel chapter 2, verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guards, which was gone before to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? It sounds kind of interesting, right? Right with Ezra chapter 4, the king just made a decision based on what he saw. He moved, all right? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went into his house and made this thing known to Haniel, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his followers should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto the kings, unto us the king's matters. All right. I wanted to try and be nice here, but how many of you understand what the President of the United States is doing? I thought to myself, I can't even understand what the President of the United States is saying, right? You and I don't understand what's going on in Washington. There's probably some people that know what's going on in Washington. But can I ask you something? Do you know somebody who knows what's going on in Washington? I do. He's God my Father. Mm-hmm. What did Daniel do? He said, hey, let's get some people that this decree, this challenge, is going to directly impact. And let's seek wisdom. Right? Let's ask God for his mercies on us. See, I believe there's times for protest, and I believe there's times for quietness. You and I have a great opportunity to seek God first. Right? Seek his righteousness. You and I have the ability to ask God, who knows the beginning from the end, what's going on in 2022 that I need to be aware of so that I can build, right? You and I have the ability to ask. What's he tell us? You have not because you ask not, right? Now let's carry on with this. I was talking with this with Bob last Sunday. You receive not because you what?
Ask
amiss. Right? That you may consume it upon your own lusts. Well, God, I just want a great big church. Why? Well, because I want to be a pastor of a great big church. Right? Well, that's terrible. God, I want to know what's going on with the direction of our country so I can know how to serve people well, so that they may be able to build for the glory of God, right? You think God's going to answer that? I believe so, because we should pray for the will of God to be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. And so we have the ability to ask, and God has the knowledge to answer. Now think about this. What's he say? He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and light dwelleth in them. Verse 23. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might. Not only do we need to ask, we need to have a heart of gratitude.
Amen.
How many of you are thankful, first of all, that God even cares to listen to us?
Yes.
You know, who are we? you know, among this world. And yet God willingly opens his ears and his arms to listen. Should we not be thankful? He gives wisdom to answer folly of men. Should we not be thankful that he gives us wisdom? He gives us hope in very dark days. Should we not be thankful that we can have hope? He provides faith in moments where we can't see around the corner. Should we not be thankful for the faith that he provides for us every day? I thank thee, what? And praise thee. I wonder how often we spend thanking and praising God for what he's provided for us for the day. We were laughing, Caitlin and I, just yesterday, and then I mentioned it in our morning Bible study. And I was talking about the mind, and we were shoveling some dirt. I say some dirt. We were shoveling a lot of dirt. And came to the point, you're tired, wore out. And I told Katie, I said, this is where you got to focus on your mind. Your mind's going to determine, are you going to carry on or are you going to give up, right? And how many of you thankful that God can do a work in you that helps you to carry on and not give up? Because you spent time seeking God. You know, this is what God has called me to do. I can guarantee you I am supposed to do this based on the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't care what happens to me, that's going to be my focus and my calling because I know that's what God's called me to do, whether by life or by death, Paul said, right? When's the last time you said to God, God, I'll thank you whether I live or I die? God, I'm going to praise you for the life I had and the life that's to come if it leaves today. I thank thee and I praise thee. And Daniel was given the wisdom. You and I have the ability to go to the one who has all the wisdom we need for 2022 to rise up and build. The question I ask you is, are you willing to stand against the challenge? Do you recognize the challenges when they come? And when they come, are you willing to pause? Are you willing to say, I can see who's coming against me. I can see what's coming against me. God, are they for you or are they against you? All right, God, thank you for the wisdom. I see that they are against you. God, I need the wisdom and the understanding because I know in these next few moments or these next few days or these next few weeks, this challenge is probably going to escalate. The enemy doesn't want you to succeed. Will you give me the wisdom? But then will you pause and will you thank God? Will you praise God for who he has been, who he is, and who he always will be? And you and I have a great opportunity to continue to build. You're going to see God do some great things. From this pause here, where the children of Israel stopped building, you're going to see as we carry on through Ezra and into Nehemiah that God's not done. Satan may have won the victory, but he certainly lost the war. How many of you are thankful for that one? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to see that in the weeks to come. But you and I need wisdom. The question is, are we going to ask? We're going to stand and sing here in just a moment.